Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.ByteRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp.
Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my very special guest is Jenny Mannion, and we're going to be talking about her book, A Short Path to Change, 30 Ways to Transform Your Life. In the book, you can learn how to identify and release old patterns and behaviors and navigate challenges and stay in the present moment to maximize positive results. Intuitive Jenny Mannion shares in her own journey to healing in the book after years of chronic illness and demonstrates how it helped her create her unique program. You can find out more by visiting Jenny's website, which is jennymannion.com, and that's JennyMannion.com, and I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. So with that, I'd like to welcome Jenny to the show. Good day, Jenny.
Hi, Robert. How are you? Thanks so much for having me here.
It is my pleasure. I'm really looking forward to hear what you have to say, because there's a lot of people who are probably right now are where you were with that chronic illness aspect. So, and you've obviously using your modality conquered to that. So would you mind sharing just a little bit with the listeners about, you know, that period of what you were going through and kind of how you made the shift out of that?
Sure. Well, I was sick for about 7 years, chronically ill and chronic pain. Most days it got kind of worse and worse. The first diagnosis I'd got when I was a young mom was chronic mono. Always were finding that Epstein-Barr virus in my blood. The next was fibromyalgia, which is kind of like diffuse body pain, different areas of your body. I kind of felt like I had the flu on most days, but most of the pain was in my legs. Which was very challenging for me because I had been a dancer. Dancing had always been part of my life, so it was very challenging to have so much leg pain. And then the next was a genetic blood disorder, factor 5 Leiden. And after they told me that I was like 100 times more likely to get a blood clot, and I promptly manifested one of those within like a month of them telling me that, and actually was in the hospital for about 5 days with a blood clot in my leg. And then that made them put me on blood thinners that they said I would be on for the rest of my life. And then the last was, I guess, the most grim diagnosis. It was Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, benign hypermobility. And they said basically like the collagen had wore out in my joints, and basically I would probably be in a wheelchair almost as soon as a year. And there was really kind of nothing they could do. It would be physical therapy and painkillers for the rest of my life. So those were the diagnoses, and each time, you know, they just got a little more grim. I really didn't know anything else. You know, I mean, I was a psychology major, but, you know, when you get ill, you trust the doctors, you go to them for answers, and I was just really taking very hard everything that they said and was becoming my diseases. And, you know, you think you're doing yourself a service by reading up on them, but then you start manifesting all the other symptoms that you hadn't had to date. And I definitely became my diseases. You know, I was very sick. Every day I woke up with self-defeating thoughts, like concentrating on my pain, you know, ow, my legs hurt. Mm-hmm. Why do my legs hurt? I wonder if I'm going to be able to drive today. Am I going to pass out in pain today? Is it safe for me to, you know, look after my kids today? So all the definitely basking in the what ifs in the negative way, and really taking to heart that prognosis that there was no hope for me. And that the best I could do was manage my pain. I joined support groups. They didn't feel supportive. They were kind of like, I mean, I think I found one that was okay. I found like one person in one group that was okay. But other than that, it was, I found like it was very much people trying to one up each other on how many medications they were on,
yeah.
how bad their life was. Uh-huh. And it really didn't help lift me at all. It made me feel worse. So then I read a book. Oh, I read this book about coping with pain. It was basically like just accept that you'll never be the person you were and have a funeral for the person you were. So, I mean, I read all these things that I thought I was doing myself a service, you know, by doing something informed. But it certainly wasn't. I mean, now, you know, in hindsight, it was just reinforcing my illnesses, reinforcing my limitations. And there were a couple things that happened that shifted, that allowed for the shift to take place in my healing. One was, I was a young mom, and, you know, when you become a parent, that kind of takes up your world. And I had definitely stopped doing, you know, some of the things that brought me joy, and the illnesses, you know, followed that. And didn't really know who Jenny was anymore. You know, I was mom, I was wife, I was the sick person, you know, but I really didn't know who I was. And I had actually met a new friend, and we kind of hit it off right away. And I was like, you know, I'd really like to go walking with her. So I had really shunned the pain pills and any medication except the blood thinners, because I had grown up in New York City, so I knew addiction well, you know, by witnessing it, and was
really
kind of afraid. But when I met this new friend, I was like, you know what, I'll take, you know, they said 2 pills every 4 hours. I'll take half a pill, or I'll take 1 pill and be able to go for a walk with her. And it really did help, that getting out in nature, getting out and walking with a new friend, remembering kind of who I was, you know, and she really didn't see me as a sick person, you know, because I was able to go out and take these walks. And then I guess a couple months later, I was introduced to the movie The Secret, and that just was the, that was like the next stage where the gratitude was really important for me in seeing that movie. I definitely was not focusing on the things I was grateful for. I was focusing on all the lack and limitation. And then the fact that our body is always recreating cells, you know, and where we put our emotion creates happy cells or sick cells. So I definitely realized that I was definitely not creating new pathways. I was creating sick cells, and really just repeating those negative messages, just being in them. So I decided I was canceling my doctor appointments, I think except for the Coumadin, the blood thinner checks. I was canceling my doctors for a couple weeks because it really wasn't helping me. They were just kind of reaffirming. And every time I'd have to argue with them about medications, because I was like, I'm not going on antidepressants. I'm not depressed. I'm sad because I'm sick. There's a difference, you know. So So, yeah, so, I mean, after seeing that, I just said I was going to stop seeing doctors for a little while and really just give myself the opportunity to delve into this further. You know, The Secret was kind of the jumping point, but then I was like, I'd read Deepak Chopra before. I was like, I'm going to dive back into Deepak Chopra and Wayne Dyer and Eckhart Tolle. And within 3 weeks of reading them and really starting to practice gratitude every day, in the morning, in the middle of the day, at night, starting to really shift my attention to the parts of me that were not in pain, even if it was my little pinky, you know, putting all my attention there and saying, well, that's healthy, you know, so there are healthy cells in my body, instead of reaffirming my leg pain, really just shifting the way I thought, really looking at myself a little kinder instead of the harsh judging, you're not a good mom because you can't do this. Well, at least you can, saying things like, at least you can read to your kids in bed and you're there for them, you know, and really shifting with how I was talking to myself. Within 3 weeks, I was pain-free, and I did not go back to the doctor for a while. I almost a year to go back to the doctor, and that was just to get off of the Coumadin, because I wanted the hematologist. I knew I'd need the hematologist's okay to kind of wean me off of that. And actually, in that office, he told me that where my mind was, it would be more dangerous for me to be on them, and he gave me his blessing to go off of them. So within, you know, three weeks, I was pain-free. Within a year, you know, I was off the last medication that I was on, and that was about 12 years ago. So I've been healthy ever since. And, yeah, really just look to my energy body, look to, you know, I have a whole section in my book about the chakras, look to the chakra system to really see what's out of balance in my body. After healing, I did write a ebook, which kind of started me online and learning more, and just really, I was like, oh, I love all this stuff. You know, I want to learn more and more. And, you know, there's just such a wealth of knowledge. So, yeah, I mean, it led to me becoming an alternative healing practitioner. I took reconnective healing. I learned how to read Akashic records. It just sent me on a really long spiritual journey, which has been really beautiful. And I love helping people recognize their own power, you know, get out of those stories that we tell ourselves that are reinforced by other people that maybe we, you know, believe. And, you know, while I do energetic healing and Akashic record reading, I really do love those short little mind tools like I have in my book to just really check in. The present moment does have all the power. Usually we're in our head in the past and the future worrying. We're not just in the present. So I really do believe in giving people kind of their power back. And a lot of times when I work with people, it is that it's the ha-ha home moment, but it's also like a memory. They're like, oh, this just makes sense. So, yeah, it is my passion. And, yeah, whether people have that physical ailment or, you know, it's a situation in their life that needs resolving and they just need a different outlook.
Yeah. Well, you know, the importance and where you put your attention, and just the mental shift, to focusing on, you know, good and healthy cells and you know, where the pain isn't, you know, and it's those kinds of things. That's something that every single person can do if they really put their mind to it. And, you know, in recognizing the positive effect that it had for you just leads us to recognize that it's really anyone can do this if they put their mind to it.
Absolutely. And I think the toughest thing, Robert, is like, as you're starting to do this, really being extra loving and kind to yourself, because I know that even as I was starting to do this, and I didn't know I was going to heal myself. I mean, that was not my intention. I was like, I just know that I haven't gone this route before and I can probably feel better than I've been feeling. But really be kind and loving. So when those thoughts come up, you know, those thoughts came up to me, why have you been laying in bed 7 years? Why did you do, you know, like all these self-deprecating thoughts, if you can love yourself through them, you know, and realize that your life can begin now and what's in the past does not matter. It really doesn't, it means who you are up until that moment, but it really, it can be just something to look at. I do look at my illness as my greatest gift now. I would not have at the time, you know, because it really did give me that opportunity. And I do really feel like I empathize deeply with my clients because I remember being in those doctor's offices for hours, you know, and awaiting test results and the pain and the thoughts that come with it. So I think that that whole journey really was, it was a necessary part of my journey. So being grateful and loving to yourself and all that is right now, which might seem really difficult, you know, when you're in it. But, you know, that's the beginning of healing.
It is. It is. And, you know, like you said, you know, when you're involved in it, I mean, it's not a fun place to be. But what you learn, what comes out as a result and what you learn and a shifting perspective gives it context, you know, gives your life context and the illness context in your life.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So now with the book, A Short Path to Change, 30 Ways to Transform Your Life, what inspired you to write this particular book?
It was definitely my journey and my journey working with clients. After working with clients, say, like 5-6 years, I realized that we all have the same stuff. We all have limiting thoughts. We all have our past stories that we tell ourselves. We all just doubt that we can become this limitless person, you know, and whether that was because of our environment or because of the global consciousness, you know, as a whole. But I really wanted to write a book that would make it easy that would help people along their path and do it in a gentle and loving way, and really short exercises. I really believe in keeping things short and sweet. I know that, you know, not all of us have that luxury of meditating 2 hours a day, you know, on top of a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, to be able to have these tools that you could use in the shower, you know, when you wake up in the morning, on your drive to work, in those little moments, things to pull you back to your awareness. I mean, my book's broken into 4 sections. The first one is all about getting rid of the old stuff. So, you know, I start with forgiveness and self-forgiveness, which is a major one, you know, fear and worry. A lot of the things that we've kind of just gotten attached to, the negative self-talk, you know, is a huge one. The attention shifting, like I mentioned, it's shifting from the pain to what's healthy. And then also moving past that resistance, because the ego is going to come in as you're trying to change and say, oh, no, it's more comfy laying down all day and being sick. You know, you don't need to change that. So really helping the person and giving them tools that they can use easily and gently with themselves. And the second part of my book is all about the chakra system. That's something that I really love and feel is very powerful and simple. The part 3 is staying in the present moment. So tools on self-love, on affirmations, on gratitude. I throw in a little energy healing and meditation there. I'm a big energy fanatic, kind of. I love feeling energy in our bodies, you know, and I really do feel like that connects people. It's an easy way. Most of my meditations begin with people rubbing their hands together for 30 seconds or a minute, where they're actually, and then holding them apart, where they can feel that energy. Another exercises anchors, an anchoring moment to keep you in the present moment, which is beautiful, which is really putting our thoughts and our emotions on one of the best moments on our life, like taking that those few minutes and closing our eyes and bringing us back to that moment. We like to torture ourselves as humans and bring ourselves back to that argument or they said that or those uncomfortable moments, which really don't empower us. So giving people that opportunity to really bask in the joy and happiness of one of their best moments, we usually don't do that. You know, if we remember a happy memory, we kind of smile and gloss over it, but we don't really bask in it like we will the negative moments for some reason. So really empowering people to choose what they can do in every moment, giving them tools. And the last section is all about things to move forward. When you face self-sabotage, but also intention setting and embracing your shadows, community and friends asking for help. So it was all the things that I had learned on my own journey and definitely had seen the patterns among my clients.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, and I do want to kind of go into a little bit of depth in each of them, but should these each section or each exercise, is there a particular order? I mean, should you kind of go from start to finish? You know, kind of how would the reader best use the book?
I would definitely say to do each section in order. I think within the section, you can definitely jump around a little bit if you like, if something resonates with you more. Or maybe if you're not quite ready to open up with forgiveness and self-forgiveness, because that is kind of a daunting one that I'm asking people right off the bat to do. But I do offer the exercise of Ho'oponopono in there, so that makes it a little easier, you know, for people to do. But really is an intuitive journey too, and I do have the sections in a logical order, but again, within them, I do feel people can bounce around a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, okay. You know, because that was what, you know, as I was going through and looking at them, one, in, I think it's in the last section, letting go and receiving, you know, I could see there have been certain times that I know that letting go was an important thing for me to pay attention to. So it would have, at that time, you know, it'd be good to be able to kind of go to the book and think, okay, well, here we are. Let me go ahead and read this real quick and bring myself up to date.
Yeah, absolutely. If there's something that resonates with you, I mean, I think healing is an intuitive journey, you know, and I do encourage my clients, if there's something that jumps out at you. A couple of my friends have said they've kind of opened up to a chapter, and it's exactly what they need in the moment. So it really is an intuitive journey.
Yeah. Well, now, okay, in the book, you offer up some of your own experiences. And I know that whenever anybody kind of puts their life out there, you know, for people to read, I think it's a wonderful sign of strength and courage, and, you know, because you open yourself up to all kinds of, you know, comments. So for you, putting your experiences in the book, was, did you have any reservations about doing that?
I definitely think there were parts of my life, you know, that I questioned putting in there, but I think that I did want to give examples, and, you know, rather than using my clients' lives, I thought it would be even more personal if I did use mine, and how they helped me, you know, how each of these steps really did make a difference in my life. And yeah, I think it was kind of, you know, maybe it was therapeutic too. It's so funny that the chakra chapter, I started writing, I wrote chakra poems. I wrote a whole ebook on chakra poems. And every time I went through each of the chakras, it was a healing. And then I wrote my book. I was like, oh, this will be easy because I've written about them before. Each one was another healing. And then when they had me edit them, you know, my publisher had me edit, it was a whole nother healing for each one.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, it doesn't certainly helps me to go through them. Some of these exercises are exercises that I still use. Some of them are probably exercises that I could definitely go back to, you know, again.
Right.
So yeah,
right.
It is nice to share myself, and I do, you know, share myself openly with my clients too, because I want them to, you know, feel that connection and know that, you know, I have been through what a lot of them are going through with these, you know, dire prognoses, and the self-talk in your head when you're sick is really not healing. You know, I mean, you're sick and you're talking to yourself really badly, and it's not healing. It's not empowering. So really, you know, talking to them, and I think sharing my story of illness and the doctors and all the things I went through definitely helps. So I think from that, that took away any like fear or resistance I had with the sharing.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. But it still, you know, kind of makes you a little vulnerable sometimes. I mean, you know, and, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, you really want to be honest. And then I think, you know, by sharing some of, you're sharing the ups and downs, the reader can empathize, relate to what it is that you're saying. And I think that just creates such a more realistic kind of enlightening, you know, that people will, I mean, they're going to, you know, Jenny had ups and downs, I'm going to have ups and downs, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and yeah, I mean, that's it, Robert, and loving yourself through them, because, you know, as we're on the spiritual journey, it's very interesting, like as we start to awaken and walk this path, we can become almost harder on ourselves because we feel like, hey, don't I know this already? Like, haven't I been through this lesson? You know, aren't I done with this? And we can become very impatient with ourselves. But again, that's not healing. You know, healing is noticing, hey, this came up again. What's this about? You know, what can I do? What triggered this? What, you know, let me unpack this emotion a little bit instead of letting it overwhelm me. And if we're kind and loving to ourselves on the journey, I mean, those times of real upheaval, you know, get further and fewer between, and they get shorter, you know, so loving the journey and loving yourself enough to be patient with yourself, and patience is my shadow, so I faced that one big time, but be patient with yourself, and yeah, just loving yourself enough to know, you know, this too shall pass, I will get through it. I'll look up the tools that I need, you know, the tools and resources I need are coming to me, and knowing that we're powerful enough to control our energy, you know, and that's pretty powerful. You know, if we control our energy, we can control, you know, the emotion and what we're putting out there to the universe and what comes back to us.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're just about halfway through the show, Jenny. I want to take just a quick break, and I do want to invite listeners, if you would like to call in and ask any questions, you can dial 619-789-4359. And those of you listening live in the chat room, if you have any questions, feel free to pose them there. And then when we come back, Jenny, I want to, you know, we kind of talked at a high level about Section 1, getting rid of old stuff. I want to kind of talk about a couple of the specifics in that category, and actually in each of the categories for the second half
Absolutely.
Of the hour, okay? Okay, great.
Absolutely,
everyone
thank you.
Great, everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Hello. This is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, www.biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link that will give you access to more than 1,200 shows we have had over the past 7 years. Also on the site are links to the products and services we provide, books, greeting cards, photography, and a wellness store. Our show is available as a free podcast on iTunes, and you can subscribe for free at the iTunes Store, or even quicker, there is a link on our website homepage. We are also on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, etc. And we also have buttons to those platforms on the top of our homepage. Our website, www.biteradio.me, has much for you to explore and enjoy. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. Again, today, my very special guest is Jenny Mannion, and we're talking about her new book called A Short Path to Change, 30 Ways to Transform Your Life. Again, the information, more information about Jenny is available at her website, which is jennymannion.com, and that's J-E-N-N-Y. MANNION.com. And again, I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. Okay, so with that, we're back. Jenny?
Hi, thank you.
Hey, great. Okay, I just wanted to kind of get into a couple of the details in a couple of the sections. Now, the first one you mentioned was getting rid of the old stuff, and in one of those topics, and that was negative self-talk, which you talked a little bit about during the first half of the show, and that's one area that it's a constant. It's a constant thing with me.
Yeah.
So I am one of those little talkers that just like talk it. But
well,
but anyway.
Robert, yeah, I mean, I did recently hear the fact that I guess most people have 60,000 thoughts a day, 95% of them are the same as yesterday, and 80% of them are negative. So we have some wiggle room there to work with, you know? I mean, if we start really watching that self-talk and kind of calling ourselves on it, just stopping ourselves when we say things to ourselves and asking ourselves, do we believe it, you know? We can, I think, you know, a lot of people have said, oh, I'm so stupid, you know, after doing something silly or whatever.
Mm-hmm,
I mean, those thoughts really do affect us. You know, if you keep saying you're stupid, you're not going to really feel smart and motivated. So, you know, really calling ourselves into that present moment, calling ourselves on our stuff when we hear that and saying, is there another way to say that? Is that the message I really want to give myself? Do I believe that? And then maybe even like, where did that come from? You know, perhaps you had an unsupportive, you know, parent or teacher at some point, and, you know, that message, or, you know, relationship where you heard that message a lot And that message is replaying, and it's not even something you believe, but it's just become so second nature and habit. So really the power is in noticing and not beating ourselves up. When we don't beat yourself up for beating yourself up, because that's not helpful.
Right,
you know, but
right.
Really, yeah. Noticing it is the first thing, and giving yourself a pat on the back. Hey, I just really went into a downward spiral and insulted myself for 10 minutes, and now I'm feeling really, you know, really badly, you know, no wonder, you know,
right.
I'm just kind of taking notice of that and, you know, doing something loving for yourself after that, talking lovingly to yourself after
that. Yeah. Now, one of the things you mentioned for you that helped shift your trajectory was attention shifting. You know, shifting your attention toward the healthy part of your body, and, you know, just healthier thoughts. Are there any, what kind of advice would you give to people to help them maybe become aware of when their attention needs to shift? Because I think there's a lot of times, like you talked about, you know, all of those thousands of thoughts going through our brain. So many of those are like unconscious, stream of thought, kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, stream of consciousness. That's it. Thank you. You know, but you know, there's at one point, I guess, you have to be aware to be able to shift.
Yeah, well, I would say anytime you feel yourself getting irritated, ask why. I mean, a lot of times in relationships, too, we do this. We'll focus on that one negative habit, that one habit that annoys us to no end, instead of focusing on all the wonderful things in a person. And I've worked with couples where this has really shifted their relationship, where if you sit and actually think about, like, all the great things about that person and all the things, you know, maybe a happy memory that you guys have shared, instead of, you know, being like, they're eating with their mouth open again. It's going to drive me crazy, you know, or, you know, picking out one little thing and obsessing over it. I mean, we can decide in each moment where our focus is. And if our focus is on that repeated thing over and over again, of course, it's just adding to that energy of negativity and going to make us feel, you know, hostile or irritated. But if we focus on something beautiful, again, I talked earlier about the anchoring moment. It's so powerful because we're focusing on our most beautiful moment. I mean, when's the last time, you know, you focused on the moment that brought you such pure joy for like more than 30 seconds, you know, actually spent like a few minutes basking in it, bringing in the senses of it, you know, whereas a bad moment, we have no problem. We go right there. We go to how angry it made us, you know, the other emotions of the people, what was said, what could have been said differently, but we really don't bask in those beautiful moments. So with anything, you know, with a job, when we put out energy before we meet someone. So if we're going into our job saying, oh, that guy's going to be a jerk again today, I know they're going to do this, you know, and we're in our head, we're really allowing for no other possibility. An example from my own life here is my step grandmother was not a very happy person, to put it nicely. She was very, very angry. And I always dreaded going there. Always would get anxious before she yelled, like something would drop. She'd scream like, you know, the world was coming to an end. It was a very like anxious situation. And I remember one day, like, and I was young then, I didn't know any of this stuff, you know, going like, I'm going to find one nice thing in that woman today, you know, I'm going to go there happy, I'm going to go, instead of going there depressed, instead of going there anxious, I'm going to go there happy, and I'm going to talk to her. And I wound up like having the best conversation I ever had in my life with her. She opened up to me, told me how it was hard getting older, she started crying, you know, really showed me this compassionate, sweet side. And I know that it was the energy that I brought, you know, so we have this opportunity in every moment to kind of switch these relationships too with what we're bringing in.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, very much so. And, you know, that kind of getting rid of that preconceived ideas, you know, and the thing is, a lot of it is based on past experience, you know, but the one thing to, I guess, try and recognize as much as possible is that the past isn't necessarily, you know, a guide to the present or to the future.
Right. And as I said before, 95% of our thoughts are the same as yesterday. We're really not allowing for many different possibilities, you know, so really opening us up to, like, if we start changing our thoughts, our reality will change because we're opening up to, instead of the what ifs and the negative, we're opening to what ifs and the positive. You know, what if that person is actually really nice today? You know, what if, you know, there's no traffic today? What if I find a really good parking spot today? You know, I mean, instead of, we tend to, as humans, go to the worst case scenario.
Now, since we're on the topic of change, you know, and the book title is A Short Path to Change, what do you feel are some of the main reasons why some people are resistant to change? Some people, you know, this, to some people, change is like, yay, okay, let's go for it.
Yeah.
For some people, change is just very difficult.
Change is scary. Change is the unknown. And our, you know, our egoic mind is not punishing us. It's saying, hey, stay safe, stay here. You know, change, you don't know what's out there. It could be dangerous. And even if we're getting out of an unhealthy situation, it will really try to pull us back. And it really is, again, loving ourselves enough to say, you know what, I'm worth it. A lot of times it is a self-worth issue. Like, okay, why am I going to stay in this emotionally or physically abusive relationship? Well, maybe I attracted it to me. Maybe in some way I deserve it. Maybe I don't, you know, I don't feel strong enough, you know, to get out of it. But no one deserves that, you know. And a lot of times how I help people recognize that is, interestingly enough, I have to have them think about someone else. Like, would you say that to your loved one? You know, would you say that to your child or your best friend or someone? If you wouldn't, then that is not a message you should be repeating to yourself, you know, and we treat ourselves very differently. We treat ourselves as our worst, you know, worse than our worst enemy a lot of times, you know, never mind our best friend. And we really need to start becoming our best friend and holding our hands as we're making this change, giving ourselves that inner hug, getting support if we need that, whatever that looks like, you know, whether it's a friend, whether it's, you know, actually a support line you need to call. Whether it's a therapist or a healer, whatever it is, you know, there's so many resources online, like your show, you know, and positive places where you can get really positive tools to just love yourself enough to know that, yeah, change might be a little scary, but it's okay. A lot of times I will tell my clients too, like, okay, say you've been in this negative pattern 3 decades or 4 decades, it's not going to take that to change it. You know, it is not. You know, it's going to take a fraction of a fraction of that time. But it is going to take your attention and intention. It is going to take loving yourself enough to know that you're worth it and not self-sabotaging, or when you do self-sabotage, loving yourself enough to get back on track and say, okay, you know, this journey is not a straightforward arrow. You know, this journey is more like a dance. You know, we take a couple side steps, we can take a couple steps back, you know, but we are, as long as we're facing forward and know that we want better for ourselves, that we deserve better, we will keep moving forward.
Yeah, yeah, that's, yeah, I agree. It's, what more can be said? That's, no, that's perfect. Now, you mentioned the chakras, you know, and that's the section 2 in your book. What do you think is the most important thing that listeners need to know about chakras and why, you know, why you spent, you know, a fourth of the book?
I feel chakras are our inner diagnostic system. Western medicine is based on biology, which is, you know, very helpful. You know, there are lots of great discoveries there. Eastern medicine is really based on energy. And when you get to know the chakra system, I mean, the seven chakras, or, you know, the seven main chakras represent a different part of each of our body. And when we get to know the physical and emotional components of each, they just kind of make sense. I mean, the heart chakra, for example, that's the easiest one to talk about. is all about love. It's all about relationships. It's all about self-love, how we receive love. And people that don't have healthy hearts can get heart problems, can have health problem, heart problems. They can have develop breast cancer. They can develop issues with the lungs and breathing. It feels like it's almost not safe to breathe because we're in, you know, in a hard relationship, or there's something, you know, really challenging about our relationship with ourselves. Throat chakra is another one I find very off balance a lot of times with people, because throat chakra is at your throat. It's about speaking your truth, living in integrity, being able to hear other people's truths, and that can cause thyroid issues and, you know, throat cancer and other issues if it's not in balance. So they all make sense, you know, and that was really my goal in the book. I mean, when I read Caroline Mace's Anatomy of the Spirit and read about the chakras and kind of knew, like, I had this like moment where I was just like bawling and knew I had to write poems about each and how important they each were. And I know that whenever my life feels out of balance, if I get a stomach ache, if I get a sore throat, I go to my chakra system. And it's our way of, like, our body's trying to communicate mm-hmm. with us when something's out of balance. It's our way of getting those answers, saying, hey, okay, my stomach hurts. What is that about? You know, is there a power struggle I'm having right now? Maybe I'm afraid of taking that next step up into power. Maybe someone's taking advantage of me and being controlling to me, and I'm feeling powerless. It's just really helpful. So I did really feel that I wanted to make it very simple and for people to know that, okay, so if you start healing, you know, you're still going to feel aches and pains sometimes, you know? So being able to say, okay, I'm going to communicate with my body and really try to find out why, you know, what's going on, what can I do to bring it into balance, and use it as a really huge tool as, you know, bring it into balance. Mm-hmm. If my throat chakra is out of whack and I know I'm not speaking my truth to someone, I'm going to be speaking my truth to that person because, you know, I don't want to be holding that literally like stuck in my throat. So really understanding that the chakra system can really help you. I love that Carl Jung quote, we aren't here to heal our illnesses are here to heal us. And I really feel like that the chakra system informs us about mm-hmm. what is going on in our body.
Yeah, it certainly is a good guide, you know, to kind of tune in to, you know, kind of get toward a more of a root cause for the symptom that kind of expresses itself. So now in your book, you also talk about self-love, you know, in the importance of self-love. I mean, some people might feel a little bit uncomfortable with that idea. So can you...
Some people or most people? Yeah, I mean, we're not ourselves. We're taught to be kind to your neighbor. Well, what about loving right. yourself so that you're a mirror on how people are going to treat you? If you're treating yourself really badly, what kind of relationships are you going to attract to you? You know, because you don't believe you're good enough. So I think you would be attracting someone that also doesn't believe you're good enough or doesn't treat you good enough. So really healing that and loving yourself enough to know that you do deserve love, and connecting with your passions, I think, is one of the easiest ways to do that. But also connecting to the little things we do every single day that we never give ourselves credit for. Did you make dinner for yourself? Did you make dinner for someone else? Did you pack a lunch today? Did you call a friend that was that you knew was having a hard time? Did you smile at someone in the grocery store? You know, we will beat ourselves up about mm-hmm. the one little thing we feel we missaid, but we don't give ourselves that love for every single thing that we've done in our life that's brightened someone else's life. You know, whether it's a person or an animal or the, you know, plants or the environment. I mean, we all do wonderful things for this world every single day, and that deserves a lot of love.
Yeah, and it's funny, not funny, when you were talking, just as you were talking, explaining on taking joy in the little things, you know, that you do, mm-hmm. or you know, what may appear to be little things. I had one of those nasty talkers in my head, and it said, you know, I was taught that, you know, this was just the way that it should be, and that one should not give self recognition for something that should be human, you know, common sense, human nature, those kinds of things. And I just, the reason that I chuckled was because, like, that was the old script, you know, coming through, saying,
yeah.
That,
and that's,
you know, that you,
Robert, when you I love those moments when you catch the old script. And another thing I use is, like, saying, okay, well, you feel you don't deserve that. Well, what if you talk to an animal? What if you talk to a dog? Or what if you talk to a child the way you talk to yourself? You know, saying all the negative things but not giving them praise. How would they wind up? They'd be really distrusting, meek, disempowered beings. You know, so why do we feel like we can talk to ourselves like that?
Yeah, I agree. Well, now, guys, for about 45 minutes into it, I don't want to go on any further. I will talk a little bit more about the book if we have time, but I want to talk about your healing modality, Be Light. Boy, tell us about it. I know I read that you, when you first kind of heard the fact that this was something you were going to be doing, you was like, who, me? Do what?
Oh, that's, talk about putting it mildly. Yeah, that's putting it mildly. I had heard about this in so many synchronistic ways since, actually, probably about a year after healing myself. I've gotten calls from people that said I was a healer, like before I was a healer and had modalities that, you know, they had no way of reaching me. I've gotten, when I've gone to psychics at fairs or something like that, or people, friends, they've told me that I would create a healing modality, and they always pushed it to the back because it seemed way bigger than me. And again, that's mm-hmm. that self-love, you know, versus the self-deprecation. Oh, healing modality. Yeah, right. You know, like, there's no way I can do that. And it was interesting. I'd gotten to a really comfortable place in my life. Last September, I moved in with, honestly, you know, the love of my life. I never knew a relationship could be this easy and wonderful and joyful. And we had just moved in together, so I was in a really, like, just happy, happy space. Business was doing great. Everything was so perfect. Then I had a call with a fellow healing practitioner, and she said, you know, you're going to create a healing modality. And I just started crying because I knew, okay, this is the point in my life where this needs to come, because I'm in a secure place. I'm in a mm-hmm. place of my power. And then I also knew that, okay, anytime I step out of my comfort zone, everything goes down the drain a little bit before I do. As I'm doing it, so mm-hmm. there's total resistance. I mean, every time, you know, and that's it. I can laugh about it now. And I was kind of laughing and crying at the time, like knowing that here we go, you know, okay, this is going to bring up resistance, and this is going to mean a new level of healing for me and getting rid of the old stuff. But what I look at now as a journey, you know I'm going to make it out alive. You know, it's going to feel really tough and rotten at some times, but it also is worth it. And to create a new healing modality seems so outside my comfort zone. But I was like, all right, time to get to work, because I know that I can meet resistance and push this off forever, you know, another 10 years mm-hmm. or I can start doing it. So I did an Akasha clearing actually on myself around anything that would stop me from creating this modality. And the Akashic readings, I do come with the 21-day prayer. So that's really good for, you know, kind of setting that intention of, yes, I'm ready to move past this stuff. And within, like, I think it was like the first day I'd done that clearing, an email appeared in my inbox for a dream class from someone I had never heard of, and I wasn't on their email list. And it was starting the next day, and it was realizing your dreams through your dreams. And I was like, okay, here you go. Thank you, universe. You know, so it is so beautiful, you know, trusting those synchronicities that come too. And the first night I had a dream of me serving a platter. And, like, I love to entertain stuff, but it was like that, it was such a representation to me of the healing modality. Like, don't go overboard fixing it exactly right, you know, just really, like, go out and serve and enjoy the serving. And then just that affirmation of the healing modality came through. And then the I think like second or third night in, the B came through, and it was breath and energy, because it is a I'm forgetting the name for it now. So B is for breath, E is for energy. So I was like, be what? Be meditative, be aware, I want the next word. What is it? Be love, because I love talking about love.
Like.
What is it? I need to know. And actually one of my, it's kind of a sad story. One of my clients that I'd had 2 years ago, she's such a wonderful woman. I was working with her and her husband, and she had had cancer for 17 years. And when she came to me, she really wanted to go to her high school reunion, but didn't know if she'd be able to make it, because she was, wheelchair bound and declining really rapidly. So I had given her a session. She wound up actually getting her sight back, getting her mobility back, being able to go to that high school reunion, which was beautiful. We had a really beautiful, healing relationship together. About 8 months later, though, the cancer came back, and I really felt like she had kind of decided she didn't want to do it anymore. 18 years of cancer was enough. And one morning her husband had called me and told me, okay, she passed. And I was pretty distraught, really loved her. I knew she wanted to go, but it was really hard for me. And I had a full load of clients that day, and it was the morning, and I was like, all right, how am I going to do this? I need to focus on be present and not carry this in. And I actually was in the mirror, and I saw myself surrounded by everyone that I love, by a lot of people that I love, and just felt that love. And I knew the first letter was L, and I knew that actually in the meditation that I give people to do as I begin the session, love is a really important part. I have them bringing in someone that they love very deeply, because love is healing, and love does open up the heart further to healing. And then actually, the rest came in one swoop. I had a new client that signed up to see me in my office in town, and he came in, and he's a pretty amazing guy. He's a shaman that never even knew he was a shaman, never, probably even barely heard that word before. But I raised my hands to do the session, and the rest came in. I for imagine, G for grace, H for higher self, and T for thankfulness. So the rest of the modality came in, and when I finished the session, I just felt like, something really big had lifted from him. He sat up, and he's like, something just lifted from me. I feel so light. I was like, okay, I guess that's my confirmation. So it's been really beautiful, to work with it and to also explore. And I've been writing the book on it, but it's still, I feel like, in progress, because I want to do it not only for other people, but as a self-healing modality, and also for plants, animals, and water. So I'm still pursuing that aspect of it, but it's been really exciting.
Wow, it's fun when you get the synchronicity about, beat the light and, sitting up and feeling light. And those kinds of synchronicities are fun, but the synchronicity saying that you're going to do a modality constantly, but it seems that if you're meant to, do something or be something, or that, synchronicity is going to kind of keep on keeping on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's how you're in flow and on the right path, and all those little nods from the universe are really, they're beautiful. They're beautiful.
Yeah. So now how would you describe the be light modality just how would you describe it? Or I wouldn't say compare
it
to something, but what's unique about it?
I think one of the unique qualities is that I do have a meditation that I give people to begin with, or we'll play if they're in session with me, that really opens up their heart to receiving. A lot of times, I mean, I've been to a lot of different healers, and they're like, okay, get on the table and, you know, quiet your mind. Well, you know, easier said than done. And I know the first time I was on the table, I was like, what am I supposed to be doing? Am I, you know, oh, my stomach's growling. I bet they can hear it next door and so loud, you know, as the energy's moving. It's just so this healing modality begins with a really a meditation to get your heart in a really open space to receive. So a really calm space. We bring in, you know, a beautiful memory of a person or animal. We bring in that connection. We bring in the what they need to be healed, but we bring in a very loving manner, surrounded by this experience of someone supporting them. And then we also bring in the light. I mean, I'm very connected to the sun and the energy. I am Leo, you know, fire sign, so the sun is really powerful for me. So I have them imagining the sun bathing them at one point too. So it really puts them in a really calm space of receiving and open-heartedness. Mm-hmm. And I've had people, you know, say even during that, it's only a, you know, a 10-minute meditation right now, even during that they have experiences. One person actually saw their, you know, their brother that had passed years ago, you know, and communicated. They've been having experiences, and I think it is really because they're opening their heart and they're not on the table wondering what they should do. And, you know, that's not for all people. Mm-hmm. If you've had a lot of healing sessions and good at meditation, that's no problem. But if you're new to this, you know, or even if, yeah, I mean, like me, even though I'm not new to this, on the healing table, sometimes my mind can wander. It just gives you a good focus and a good way to really be in that loving, like high vibrational state to receive.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Cause one of the things in, when I saw that modality, it's my closing sign off for the show is be a light and bring inspiration to yourself. Or be a bright light.
Beautiful.
And bring inspiration to yourself. And you know, to me, it seemed that by being that bright light, that there's it's kind of like it doesn't require anything from anyone else. You kind of are shining your own true self.
Yeah.
You know, and to me, it's just where it's like a very independent source of inspiration. I don't know. To me, you know, being a light is it's just symbolic of what we can do. Each person can do to shine their own light.
Absolutely. We all have it. We all have our unique gifts, you know, to share, our unique characteristics. And the more we dive into that, you know, connect more to what brings us joy, I do feel like we shine that light so, you know, so bright. And
yeah,
for ourselves, you know, we'll feel that inside and it affects everyone around us.
Absolutely. Well, we're down toward the end of the show here, Jenny. But before we go, what would you do? You have any final words for the listeners, or maybe explain how people can have this short path to change? I mean, you know, it's a lot of people, I think, are looking for, you know, quick fixes, but you know, so shorter time for change is better. But explain maybe you know, any final words about that.
Yeah, I think the key is to what we talked about before is really that loving, gentle kindness to yourself. If you had a friend that was healing or trying to heal, or an animal that was trying to heal, you would be extra kind and loving. If you had anyone that was making a big life change, you would be extra kind and loving. So really shining that light on yourself. You know, when you find yourself saying something negative or your attention in a place that you don't want it on yourself, really loving yourself enough to just give yourself an inner hug, you know, tell yourself it's going to be okay, and know that by gathering some short tools, by just revisiting this over and over again, by bringing presence into your life, you can really make change short, and it won't take a fraction of the time that, you know, it might have taken that you're in this situation. So just being extra kind and loving to yourself in the process.
Great. Well, really want to thank you for your time today, Jenny. I've really enjoyed talking with you, and you gave me quite a bit to think about. So I really want to thank
you.
Thank you,
Robert. Yes, be nice to yourself.
I will do that.
Thank you so much for helping, you know, shed so much light and, you know, share so many people and their wisdom. I mean, that is wonderful. Thank you.
I appreciate that. Okay, everyone. Again, today my very special guest has been Jenny Mannion, and we've been talking about her new book, A Short Path to Change, 30 Ways to Transform Your Life. Again, you can find out more by visiting her website, which is jennymannion.com. That's JennyMannion.com. And again, there is a direct link to her website in the show page description. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show.